Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Yeah, it's about right, Dan.
Yeah.
Shutout last night. Lead is down to 4.5 in the American League Central. Still in control of this. Still in a good spot with Scooble on the mound.
What are you? Yeah, the pucker factor is getting there.
Well, there is a pucker factor, John.
You want to do that again?
That's the pucker sound.
And what did AJ say? Like, pressure packed, I think, was one of the quotes after the game yesterday. And they shouldn't run from the fact that there's... Thank you, Mike. That there's pressure on them right now. Don't run from it. Embrace it and actually do something about it today. And you got Tarek Skubal on the mound. It's the guy you'd want to have pitching when you have pressure.
Mm-hmm. It's that's an ace. Step up and be an ace. And now all of a sudden you put it back above 5 games, the lead, and you firmly place that pressure back on Cleveland, because Cleveland right now, okay, yeah, they're talking about, can we catch the Tigers for the division? They're simply worried about, we're 2.5 games out of a wild card spot. We're not even in the playoffs. Let's take the first step and get to that point before we even start talking about the division. They just simply want to be in the postseason. So go ahead and take that one game and double it up.
Well, they're in this position that we were in a year ago, this like...
Underdog,
not supposed to be here. Just go to the ballpark, and if we lose, well, we're not supposed to be here. But if we win, it stacks, and you build momentum. For the Tigers, they've been in first place for like 150 days.
Right.
The idea that this would even get close is embarrassing. And the idea that it could get within 3.5 today, you start to talk about a collapse. So there's pressure on Detroit. But don't run from it. Win today, and it's 5.5 with 9 games to go, and it's not mathematically over. But you've put the screws to Cleveland. This is such a big baseball game later today.
It is, but I'm not. I think embarrassing. Like if it gets close, which it is getting close.
That is embarrassing. They're at 15.5 games, John.
All right, yeah, but there's ebbs and flows of an entire season. When it's done with 162, you add them up. Did you win? Yeah. Okay. Let's go move on to the postseason. We're the division winners.
If you play,
we're the ones selling the T-shirts and the ball caps.
If you play loser baseball for 3 months, that's embarrassing.
Well, okay, so. The Guardians played loser baseball for 3 months.
It
just happened to be at the beginning of the season.
And that was embarrassing. I mean, that we don't have to like get cute about it.
You play better baseball for 162. You win the division. There's nothing embarrassing about that.
If you let someone back in the race because you're not playing well, that's embarrassing. You don't like the word choice? Fine. Use a different word. It's not good.
I just don't agree with your point of view. If they win this division, I'm not going to be embarrassed how they won it.
I'll be embarrassed with the way they're playing.
Okay, fine. But again, it's how you want to see it. That's fine. But if they get to the postseason and they're out in and they don't get a top 2 seed and they're out in that 3-game series, that's embarrassing.
248-539-9797. Look, there's tensions are high right now with this baseball team. I expect Skubal to pitch a gem today. Expect them to win today. I still feel like they're winning this division. We said yesterday, just split the Flaherty and Skubal starts. Lose both, then you welcome in a little bit of anxiety, a little nervous energy. Still mathematically up 3.5 games, still under 10 to go, but then there's 3 with Cleveland looming. And suddenly, you're not even just fighting for a bye, you're fighting for your division if you lose today. I don't want to be in that spot.
No, no one wants to be in that spot. I'd rather be in this spot than where Cleveland's at.
Yeah.
Or where Houston's at.
Yeah. Houston's the team, what? They're chasing us now?
Yeah, they're
Seattle lost.
Yeah, yeah. But you also have the advantage over them because you have the tiebreaker.
That is the difference. We should be in a weird way. You don't want either Houston or Seattle to get too hot the last 10.
Well, I don't care.
But of the two, you'd rather it be Houston because you have the tiebreaker over Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if they win today, they kind of figuratively sew up the division because of the math. If they lose today, I do think the division becomes a problem. And I never would have ever thought that they'd be in this spot. I thought they had the two seed sewed up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's just they're 7-14 in their last 21. I mean, it's 333 baseball. That's losing every series, basically.
It's especially for a team that, I mean, how many series in a row did they win before the All-Star break? And I'm not counting Seattle, all that stuff, but that was the trend. It was, hey, well, we stack series win on top of series wins. How many times have we heard AJ talk about that?
Exactly. And that's the DNA of the team, and they've lost that. I will say, what are they, 300-500, you'd said?
Since? Yeah, 26-29 post-All-Star break.
They have been very streaky in that 26-29. They had a really, really, really bad streak. Then they had a good streak and got back to 25-500, which has been their ceiling, and now they're on a bad one. So maybe this thing's about to flip, just because that's what they've been the second half of the season.
Ticket text. I think we need to get the old bit of Wojo's Panic in Tiger Town out. They missed the float drop off at the Lazy River. I think they will limp through this, but not earn the bye. That's signed Dan up north.
Well, that's the one that's most at risk right now.
Yes. Texter says the Tigers need to get going. They need to get the bats going. Scooble can pitch lights out today, but if we don't score any runs again, we're not going to win. Says also, am I the only one who hates everybody on the Guardians? I want to punch them all in the face. They're a frustrating baseball team to face.
They are. And I mean, especially like when Ramirez comes up, you're like, he's just such a good baseball player. And Stephen Kwan, the plays that he makes in the outfield, like there are things that you can respect about the team. You don't have to like it. They can still be punchable, but there are things that do frustrate you about them because they do have good baseball players.
Hi, guys. This feels like the Minnesota meltdown. Darren and Goodrich.
Not that bad.
Guys, this isn't a good baseball team. The first half was a mirage. Waters found its level. They just aren't good enough, and there'll be a quick out in the playoffs.
That may be true. But, take care of that when you get to the playoffs.
Chad Ticketex in two very extreme scenarios. Either Scooble mows them down today and the Tigers stop the bleeding, or Scooble goes down with a season-ending injury and we limp into the playoffs only to be bounced in the first round.
Okay, if Scooble is not a part of the equation in the postseason, yeah, you're getting bounced.
Your emotions. We were annoyed yesterday that this isn't wrapped up. John, you said you're mad today that it's not wrapped up.
Yeah, it's just when you have a performance like Flaherty, and he did string two good performances in a row. Like yesterday was a winnable performance. Mm-hmm. But then you only get four hits. You don't have any action on the base paths. You're at home. You have this chance to drive a nail into the coffin of the Guardians, and you don't. It's frustrating. And at some point, I switched last night from frustration to anger. But there are plenty of games left to play. 10. Today is a Scooble start and get the hammer out.
Yeah,
set the nail.
Yeah, win today. Back up to 5.5.
Yeah.
9 to go. Got the best pitcher on planet Earth pitching.
Yeah.
People are concerned if they lose, though, it means you get swept by. You don't think he's the best pitcher on planet Earth?
I don't know. Paul Skeens.
Okay.
Do you want to argue that?
No, I'm just going to retract the statement. You got the best pitcher in the American League on the mound today.
I mean, that's a lot of people.
Right. There might be some guy that nobody knows about. Yeah.
Well, we do know about Paul Skeens.
Yeah. If the Tigers were in any other division, they would be out of the playoffs. They're just not good enough. Guys, you have to remember, even Scott Harris said we're not ready to compete for the World Series, because if they were ready, he would have made the necessary moves to put us over the top. Remember, that's what he said. So if your GM doesn't think you can win it all, Randy and Livonia. Here's Jim again, doom and gloom. Sky's falling. You're going to lose some over 162.
So it is a matter of perspective. I'm looking at it as our manager has talked about for years. It's one of 162. And it's kind of the same way I always looked at an NFL schedule. That's why I always talk about the importance. Last year, I harped on the importance of that Tampa Bay game, week 2, where you red zone 1-7. Okay, I'm not going to rehash all of that. But you never know when one of those games is going to come back to bite you at the end. Because game number five,
they all count,
counts as much as game number 155.
They count the same to the standings, but how you're playing at the end of the year is more important than how you're playing at the start of the
year. How you're playing in the playoff matters most.
Yes, and the better indicator of how you're going to be playing in the postseason is probably not what you did in April and probably more of what you did in September.
There's been a lot of teams that have limped into the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they get hot in the playoffs and they end up playing for a World Series.
But those would appear to be outliers. The way you've been playing for 3 months is probably a better indicator than what you did 4 or 5 months ago, right?
You take into account everything you've done in this season. And, you know, the expectations are high for the Tigers because they've done it. We've seen them do it. We've seen them do it recently against good pitching, against good teams. The Yankees, they're not the best team. They're not a team that if you put them in any division in the National League, are they winning a division? No, they're not even going to win their own division. But they're probably a playoff team. And you might play them in the postseason. You got the Boston Red Sox coming up. Are they better than you?
No, Detroit took the three earlier this year. Detroit may take the next three. I'm not telling you get in the playoffs and find out what happens. But this isn't inspiring. This is an uninspiring, not just a week, not just a month, but 3 months of uninspiring baseball. I'm supposed to ignore it?
So when they win the division, you won't celebrate?
I'd be thrilled to see them win a division for the first time in 11 years. But do I think it's going to amount to anything at this point? I don't.
It might be anticlimactic to you because you celebrated the division win back in June.
Late July.
Oh, yeah. Okay, July. Sorry, wrong month with the J.
Actually, early July. Yeah. Well, Stoney, it was 4th of July, right around the 4th of July.
This is what happens when I'm out. This is why I don't take a lot of vacation.
To be clear, Tom, the very next week, you, several months later, we all expect them to win this division. You got there a little later, but we all expect them to win this division.
Yeah, I expected them to win the division. I just didn't declare it closed.
Right.
So, it's yes, would you rather go into the postseason more inspired than you are right now? Is there a situation where you could be better than you are right now? Sure. But the whole goal is playing when the season is over and half the Major League Baseball teams are on vacation.
This is when we need the coach speak to come out. Because when you're in October, it is 0-0.
0-0. Yep.
It's the ultimate coach speak. It's probably really annoying, but 0-0.
Right, but we can't treat everything as if it's equal. For example, having the first round bye is a much more advantageous position than just being in the postseason.
Sure, but it doesn't eliminate you.
No, it doesn't. But we've explained with this specific baseball team the difference it makes when you don't have a deep rotation to throw Skubal in games one and potentially a game five. If you don't get the bye, you get one Skubal start.
True. I think we've been arguing for the past 2 months that if they had a deeper rotation, they wouldn't be in this position to endanger the two seed.
And that's the difference from the people who said this was a mirage in the first half of the season. They really weren't good. They have a flaw that they didn't have in the first half of the season. It's called starting pitching.
Right. Mize was an all-star in the first half.
Yeah, and then you lost 2/5 of your rotation, too.
Olsen's hurt. Jobe's out.
Yeah. So they're not that team, and it's showing on the field. And look, the hitting's been the problem the last couple of nights. They should have won one of these games.
I know.
Probably they should have won the game where Carpenter homered.
Yes.
And they're just not getting timely hitting. I think you can tie a Gleyber Torres September slump to what's happening right now. He's 7-50 in September. That's not good enough. He was an all-star. When your all-stars aren't playing like all-stars right now, this is what you get. The team's flawed. They're way more flawed than they were in the first half of the season. There is some, I hate using this word, excuses here, but excuses could have been addressed.
People don't like it when I bring that up. It comes up on the ticket text quite a bit, though, and it's going to come up a lot, especially if they flatline here.
And I think situationally, too, I think it's fair game to question AJ a little bit on the Carpenter situation. I don't know how a guy that hits this many home runs and has that power and definitely has He has a little bit of a presence for the moment. Doesn't play more. That he's never going to go against righties. And then last night, you're pinch hitting Ibanez for Meadows, who had two of the Tigers' four hits.
Either you believe in the platoon stuff or you don't.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to do feel. You can't always just trust those specific numbers right there. I mean, you had the you moved Meadows up to leadoff last night.
Yeah.
You know, so he's...
And he's been one of their better bats in September. I understand.
He's earned that. But he was a key part last year in September. If he's playing like he did last September, trust it instead of, you know, but good
this
old
is
Andy.
This is the fork in the road.
Platoon is the field, though, I would argue. Not whether you want to disagree with it or not.
But I think this is the fork in the road. Like, yeah, if you were the Dodgers and you had like four or five everyday studs that you played righties or lefties, and then you platooned a couple guys, but their philosophy is aggressive platooning because I don't think they have... I hate to even do this. They don't have a Bregman at third base, right? They don't have a ton of these studs everywhere. So their approach, because of the way the roster is constructed, is to lean more into Andy Ibañez is our pinch hitter. If you want to fix that, get better players.
I know. And the Meadows thing is certainly nitpicky, and it's Monday morning quarterbacking. I won't back down from the Carpenter thing. Sometimes he's too good to keep off the field.
I agree. Especially when you see him come in, even in pitch hit. And I know it's against a righty, but he hits a home run.
Very quickly for the bye, Mariners and Astros play each other this weekend. And then the Mariners do close with the Dodgers. Mm. But they get the Rockies in between.
Is that in Colorado?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, the big dumper might hit five.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how many different teams we're watching the schedule of? It's the Tigers, yeah. It's the Guardians,
but
it's the Mariners,
it's
the Astros.
But that's what makes it so much fun at this time of year.
It sure beats where it was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm annoyed by it. I did not think I'd be doing this on September 18th.
Mm-hmm. Jeff in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
Jeff?
Hey, good morning, guys. So when I look at these two teams, the Guardians and the Tigers, the Tigers are last year's Guardians. Last year's Guardians got off to a great start. They had guys who you would think never would be all-stars, like David Fry, like McKinstry, for the Tigers were. And then in the second half, they faded. The Royals ran them down. And when Pasquantino got hurt for the Royals, the Royals faded away, and that's how they won the division. And so I look at these two teams, and the comparisons are very eerily similar when you look at it. So that's how I see it. I think from the Cleveland standpoint, it's more realistic for the wild card than it is to catch the Tigers, especially with Scooble going today. But that's my take on it. I look at these two teams, and I see the 2025 Tigers look like a lot like me to the 2024 Guardians.
Sign us up for the ALCS.
I'd say I'd take that. That means we're winning the division. We're winning a playoff series. We're playing in the ALCS.
Yeah, for a chance to go to the World Series.
I don't think he meant that as a dig, but we had some people texting that in yesterday. Like, oh, we're just going to do what Cleveland did a year ago.
Okay, well, we'll see what will be in the Final Four.
What Cleveland did a year ago would be the best Tigers season since 2013.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not like, if you gave me a choice right now, sign up for that, I'd take it. AJ, good morning. Thanks for getting up with us.
Good morning. Yeah, happy to do it. We have a good day of baseball ahead.
Always good when you got Tarek Skubal on the bump. Is it starting to feel like playoff baseball?
You got that right. I mean, it is. Man, I tell you, these games, especially against Cleveland, you know, I it is similar to last season at the end in September, October, and obviously trying to do our best to get things rolling in our direction, but you play good teams. Yankee Stadium last week, it felt the same. Obviously, it's fun. It's a fun time of year to play, despite some of the roller coaster rides.
Parker Meadows has been back. What have you seen from him in his return?
Yeah, I've seen some good things. I mean, obviously, we're a different team when he's at the top, you know, whether it's leading off or playing good defense, and just a lot of stability with him in the middle of the field. So I think he's still kind of rounding into form and getting himself, you know, ready to play. And we're pushing him, obviously, with where we are on the calendar and on the schedule. There's not many off days these days. And so I think he's responding well, and he looks fully healthy with the way he's running.
You alluded to the roller coaster. 5-9 in September. Yeah. Why haven't you guys been able to find your footing late in the season?
Well, I mean, that we could do a whole show on that. So, I mean, I think there's a couple of different things that have that have come up, and when we've had opportunities to kind of settle things down, it hasn't really gone our way. So I, you know, listen, September can be, it can be a tough stretch, and we've run into some good pitching. We've swung and missed a little bit too much. We've, you know, had a couple of blow up games on the mound, and you put all that together in September and you run into some teams playing better than you, then, you know, the record shows it. So, we have every opportunity in front of us to change that course. It starts today with Tarik on the mound against Cleveland, but no doubt September's been sort of an emotional roller coaster.
With 10 games left, what is it that you want to see from your team outside of securing the division and hopefully getting one of the top two
right,
seeds?
Winning.
Yeah, and winning. Like, but what do you need to see from your team before you get to the postseason? What, how do you want them to approach these final 10 games?
Yeah. Well, you took my answer away when you just started that question. I'm like, just wins. At the end of the day, like, the win total exercise is the most important. And obviously, we've got to put it together and play a little bit more consistent baseball. But the other side's trying to combat that. I mean, when Gavin Williams gets the two strikes, he's going to try to expand the zone. When you do, we punch out like we did last night. On the flip side, you know, we dropped double-digit runs on the Yankees back-to-back games on the road in a crazy environment. So we've seen our team, you know, be at its best. We've also seen our team, you know, get it handed to itself a little bit. And, you know, so I'd like to see us just sort of take a collective breath. And the thing that's going to produce that are, like, Tarik Skubal will have a good game today and not like last week where we walk off a mound together with a trainer. Like, that felt terrible in your stomach. Every loss is magnified right now. So I'd like to see us take a collective exhale by winning a game.
How are you feeling about him health-wise and obviously knowing that he's going today pitching for you guys?
Yeah, I feel great. You know, I came up yesterday, or I'm sorry, on Monday on the off day, and Tarik threw a pretty extensive bullpen. And I even asked Fed, I was like, man, he's letting it eat, you know, like, he's letting it go. And he was testing himself a little bit to make sure that he had the confidence to go out there and let it go. And so going into this start, he's done everything that we expected him to do as a normal prep for a start. So, you know, I have a lot of confidence in him in general, but watching him throw a full speed bullpen, letting it go, and having the same reaction to the strike throwing, but also if he misfired, like, things like that on the off day, you know, made me feel better for him getting the ball today.
Last year, you guys were obviously making a historic run and chasing things. And we asked you about the how do you talk to the guys about it and the psychological side of things. This year, you guys are the ones that are being chased. I'll ask you the same thing. Without applying too much pressure, there certainly is a sense of urgency. How do you talk to the players, your guys, about what's at stake without putting too much pressure, but apply the appropriate amount of pressure?
Yeah, I think you just focus on what you can control, which is the prep for the series. You know, when you come into Cleveland and playing against their defense, as an example, we spent a lot of time on trying to maximize our opportunities because we know their defense is going to take an out or two away from us. We've seen that in the first two games. Stephen Kwan himself has been a real issue in left field. And so, you know, if you focus on the game and the task and the things that you can control, I mean, like, you ever been around someone and they're like, hey, just relax. Like, does that make you more tense or less tense? You know, like, that, it's hard to convince people to act a certain way or be a certain way. So you just got to prepare and go out and compete. You know, it's like when a guy, I got asked last night when with us swinging outside the zone, you know, like, oh, are they trying too much? I'm like, I don't know. It's 100 with an 87 mile an hour hard breaking ball in and out of the zone. Like, I think the competition beat us a little bit last night. It's not that everybody's grabbing the bat tightly or everybody's, you know, trying to do a little bit too much. So we've got to prepare like every series, and we have for 150 plus games. You know, these last 10 are, you know, are magnified because of where we're at in the season and where we're at in the schedule. We have the lead that we've built up, and it's going to take more wins than what we have today to win the AL Central, and we know it.
Talking to Tiger manager A.J. Hinch this morning, Riley Green said he doesn't think anyone feels any kind of pressure. Like, maybe this is just semantics on word choice, but isn't there something healthy, though, about understanding the stakes of these games down the stretch here?
Well, words matter. I think that's something that's super important, and I think that's why we're all intentional with the things that we say. And And we do understand the urgency that comes with it. I just want the fans, I guess, to know, like, we operate in pressure 24/7 in sports, especially at this level. So, like, when you ask an athlete, like, do you feel pressured? These guys, yeah, I'm facing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball with some good stuff with a runner on second and third. Like, it's pressure on April 4th. Now, is there more urgency in September? Yeah, so maybe that's the word we should use with 10 games left, that it's urgency, not pressure, because we operate, like, Terry Skubal is going to feel pressure in game one next season. So it's not just because of where we're at or what's happened this week or who's winning, who's not winning. And that's why players, coaches, managers, we have a hard time understanding this daunting word of pressure. Is like, we're in the big leagues, man. There's pressure every day, and we try to compartmentalize it and deal with it and handle it. Now, the urgency is what is probably a better word to talk about.
Gleyber Torres has had a tough September. He's a guy that, I mean, obviously coming from New York, he knows about pressure, and he also understands the importance, that urgency that you're talking about. Is there anything that you do for a player like him that's different than some of the younger guys about getting out of this slump and having a better 10 games to finish the season?
Well, I think you obviously continue to communicate with these guys and encourage them and get them a good plan to go out against the pitcher that they're facing. So we're going to spend a lot of time on Tanner Bivey this morning. He's a good pitcher. That he's one of the guys that we faced a ton. So I think in some ways it's important not to be too comfortable, because you know what he has and what he's done to you in the past. And so the constant, consistent approach is the most important thing. So it's like, if I all of a sudden, you know, start bringing Gleyber into my office and breaking things down for him, like, that's abnormal for him. Like, you trust him, you build your process, you encourage him. I'm going to sit down and have breakfast with all these dudes today and just continue to try to be upbeat with these guys, knowing that we're playing some of the most important baseball imaginable, you know, trying to win this AL Central. So I'm a big believer in consistency more than sort of these outlandish ideals that you all of a sudden have to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I've said consistently, you got to play your schedule, and we've got to, you know, play a little better and squeak out some of these wins to be able to celebrate the AL Central.
AJ, a couple weeks ago, we were pushing you on the number two starter. Since then, Casey Mize looks like three pretty good starts. Flaherty, a couple starts in a row. Are you starting to see, and what are you seeing from those two?
Yeah, good. I mean, I'm seeing some extended outings, which is good, and I'm seeing them win some big moments. You know, I think last night, Jack didn't go particularly deep in the game, but he made some of the biggest pitches, bases loaded, Manzardo's up. You know, am I going to go to the lefty? Am I going to leave him in? And he's able to miss some bats in a big spot to keep the game where it was and give us a chance to win. And so I think Casey and he have both, you know, got themselves in a position where they're executing better. And the better they execute, the more outs they get. The faster they get those outs, the more they get to stay in the game. So I think we've actually pitched in two nights ago, Casey's game. I think we punched out 14 or 15 of their guys. We hit more homers than them. We might have even had more hits and lost by a few. So baseball can be weird, but when you have stable starting pitching, you know, I think it changes everything.
You've been asked a lot about the fan emotion and the swings that we go through as fans. But, I mean, these are still guys that are playing a game. And you're 10 games away from the postseason. You've done all the hard work. Is there a sense of excitement amongst the players about the position that they're in?
Oh, for sure. I mean, for sure. I mean, it's funny. We've earned the situation that we're in, both good and stressful, you know, and I think that's important for us to continue to enjoy that. I mean, these guys they're playing hard. They're prepping. We know what's at stake. We know that every win feels like barely a step forward and every loss feels like a giant step back. I mean, that's sports, and especially this time of year when you're in it. And I look around the league, and I know that there are teams that would trade places with us right now, and all the stress that we have and all the curiosity and what's going on and what's going to happen. But today is a big day for us, obviously, because it's the day that's in front of us. And our players are excited to get to the ballpark. The vibe is good. The energy is through the roof. We need the production to match it.
What would it mean to you to clinch the American League Central, something the team hasn't done since 2013?
Yeah, it's meaningful. I mean, as fast as possible. If you could, make my life a hell of a lot easier if we can do it quickly. You know, I think it's the number one goal. We stated it as what we wanted to do. We want the AL Central to go through Detroit. We've got to earn it. We've earned a good spot right now, but but they haven't crowned us a champ yet because we haven't won enough games yet. So it's a meaningful step in what we hope to be a, you know, a very memorable postseason.
I don't want to shortchange. I think it's actually 2014. But either way, it's been more than a decade. Yeah. I think fans are itching to see it happen. One last question. Finnegan, any update? Because I think it goes without saying you guys have missed him. What's the plan to get him back?
For sure. Yeah, he's going to pitch tonight in Toledo or in Iowa for Toledo and get an outing and travel back tomorrow. And we hope to have him over the weekend if all goes well. He's pitched off the mound a couple times. You know, he wanted badly to come off the IL without going on a rehab stint. But for us to see him in the competition and just make sure that extra bit of adrenaline gives us the positive feedback on the groin. If all that checks out, we should hopefully have him this weekend.
All right, AG, appreciate your time. No pressure, plenty of urgency.
You got it. See you guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Thanks. We'll Tiger manager AJ Hinch, 97.1.
Okay, here's the show we didn't want to do, but we got to do it. Welcome in. If you're leaving the ballpark, phone lines are open. If you're driving around and you listen to the game on 97.1, we thank you. Phone lines are open. Or if you just have a pulse in your body and you want to talk Tigers, phone lines are open. Cleveland comes to town. I told you they needed a sweep to get anyone's attention. They did exactly that. And honestly, this team can't play worse. Rico, I'll lay it out. I hope it doesn't come across as lazy. I just think it's the only relevant question. What's your panic level? Scale of 1 to 10. And if you're not panicked, you just have to get there. And remember, while you still have an over 90% chance to make the playoffs, no one is arguing that. And while you still have a 90% chance to win the division, you now have a less than 50% chance, according to Fangraphs, of holding on to the bye. You're at 48%. That's critical. It's critical to get rest. It's critical to set your rotation. It's critical to just not have to play in a wacky three-game series. Mm-hmm. So that is where concern would lie. Rico, just go ahead, man. Let's just dive in. 248-539-9797. I do have one thing I want to say when you're done. Go ahead.
Concern level is high, Mike. It's extremely high because Scuba was supposed to be the guy who stopped the bleeding, the Band-Aid, the get-right person. This was the game where you would take a deep breath. Okay, we've now got the lead back, and we'll go ahead and cruise in. He went out there. He pitched well. He didn't get the run support, and now you're sitting there looking because it's a bad look. And like I said, I'm at a 10 because the Cleveland Indians, the Guardians, are playing playoff baseball right now. The Tigers are trying to get themselves into that playoff mode. I think that they've been kind of in cruise control, and now they see the sense of urgency is there because you're seeing the Guardians making the big play when they needed to, scoring all the runs when they need to. And here's the thing. Now you get ready to take on a team that's riding a five-game winning streak in the Atlanta Braves, who all of a sudden decide they wanted to play baseball again. So it's
if the Braves had left-handed pitching, you'd be dead because apparently Riley Green just shouldn't play against lefties, and you know Carp doesn't. So yeah. I got nothing for you.
Yeah. I mean, this is – wow. This weekend series will say a lot about this team. Yes, percentages say that they should make – you know, but I don't think that they're going to get the bye. And
– well, then your panic should be 10.
I said it's a 10.
Oh, yeah, no, mine's a 10. I'm with you, brother. The bye – look, here's the thing, Rico. Since the All-Star break, you've played 56 baseball games. Do you know what your record is in those games?
What's that? 26-30. What you did in April and May does not matter. And the way they're playing now, look, let me just make this one. I got to say this because while I wasn't listening to the game, I was watching it. Look, I'm not trying to be nasty, but I'm just going to say something. Like, I don't know Andy Dirks, nor do I want to. But he unleashed a take in the ninth inning of that game. And I'm sorry. As a baseball fan, I'm insulted. Oh, well, Jason, look at the bright side. These last nine games are now sure going to be exciting. What fan left the ballpark with that take? What person listening on 97.1 or watching left their television or radio with, oh, hey, Martha, yeah, guess what? Tigers just got broomed out. But, hey, going to be an exciting last nine. Mm-hmm. Exactly no one.
Right.
That's shameful. If that's what you're thinking, keep it to yourself. But come on, man. You just got swept out of town. I don't need that. I don't think any fan needs that. Again, I'm not trying to be nasty, but good grief.
No, I'm with you. I think most Tiger fans had moved over and said, okay, we're going to be in the playoffs. Let's focus a little bit on the Lions. And then after the Monday night game, we'll pick up the Tiger team and we'll know exactly where we are in the playoffs. Well, newsflash, you better pay attention to this team because, hey, these last nine games, Mike.
Yeah, here you go. To win the division, 91%. To clinch the bye, a top two seed, 48.1. Make the playoffs is irrelevant. It's 96.6. We can revisit that type of panic. As Rico, you just so astutely said, if this weekend doesn't go their way, we're going to have a whole different conversation Monday. But I'm not going to future cast panic. My panic level is in a weird spot. If it's in relation to clinching the bye and having their best chance to make an organized and impactful run in the playoffs, that's a 10. The panic otherwise about just get in with a chip in a chair, no, it's like a 2. Because I don't think Cleveland can keep doing this. This is their brand of voodoo, where basically they don't allow any runs. That's just not sustainable. Now, against you it is, because this lineup's a train wreck. I mean, whether it's Wensiel Perez, who's like 5 for his last 50, or look, Riley Green had some quality at-bats. They just resulted in nothing, but he's not any good right now. You don't play Carey against lefties. It was awesome to see him last night get an at-bat against a lefty and hit a double. But the rest of this lineup, like, yeah, this is the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is what teams are going to do to you. So I'm a 10 as it would relate to, hey, are they going to have their best chance to get rest, get healthy, and organize the rotation? It doesn't look like it.
See,
and
I'm at,
as it would, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm at a 10 because this, I think, is every Tigers, today was every Tigers fan worst nightmare as far as going far. Yes, you'll make the playoffs, but it's what you do in the playoffs. What happens if you go out there in game one and Skubal does what he did today and only allow one run and you still walk away with a loss knowing that was your best chance for a victory?
Yeah.
Now what do you do? What's plan
and
B?
Cleveland had a game plan. They waited Skubal out.
Yes.
A lot of their damage. And when I say damage, I just mean affecting the pitch count. You know, if you have a 7-pitch at bat and you hit a bleeder for a single, the damage is the cumulative to the pitcher and the pitch count. He had a 20-plus pitch inning and a 30-plus pitch inning. You knew in the fourth inning, Skubal wasn't getting to the seventh and probably would struggle to get to the sixth. Now, again, that's more playoff-like in that teams will value their at-bats more. I don't know, man. Like I said, if you want to call up and say you're not panicked, that has to be related to making playoffs. And I'm with you. But as far as you were 25 games over, you were 15 games up, the thought of not having a bye in the opening round of the playoffs, it was a 0 for me, provided they won a game here. Getting broomed out. And by the way, Rico, and you know this, Guardians didn't have their complement of bullpen arms.
No.
I mean, Cade Smith wasn't available today. They had to throw Heron out there again. I think at that level, no, I'm gravely concerned because they're not now and haven't been a very good baseball team in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Playoffs are weird.
I can try to remain positive and go, look, yeah, just get in and maybe the light switch goes on. But I'm grasping at straws a little bit here because, Rico, they don't make the smart play right now. They're making a lot of mental errors. They're not playing crisp baseball. And when push comes to shove, like you look at this series, Stephen Kwan, who's a star, won the Guardians a game. J-Ram, who's a superstar, won the Guards a game. You don't have those people. You can convince yourself a Riley Green, who's had a very nice year. I hesitate to call him a superstar. And what? Carey, who only plays part-time. Like, you see it sometimes that you just need the dude. You know, last year, everybody was playing tummy sticks. Oh, my God, Ibanez won us a series. That is shadows and dust.
Yeah,
doesn't happen. You can't lean on the Andy Ibanez's of the world.
Yeah, so, you need that everyday dude in the everyday lineup to do something because, yeah, your pitcher went out there, did. And, Mike, I think you put it best. The Guardians just waited knowing school's not going to go 9. Keep this thing close. Let's get to the bullpen. And then we'll do our damage.
248-539-9797. Didn't want to do it. All they need to do is win a game this series. If they did it, we're not doing the show. But they didn't. The lead's 3.5. And yeah, this weekend, I mean, anything other than 2 out of 3 against the Braves. Guys, it's to a point now. You gotta try to hold on to this bye. Forget about the division right now. I'm not going to get that. Like, hey, if you enter Monday and this leads at 1.5, we're going to have a different conversation. Mm-hmm. But as Rico likes to yell at me about Michigan State, I want to stick to the principles. I'm not going to future cast it.
That's personal growth.
I'm trying. And, you know, because again, Rico, like I can't demand people be panicked. They are going to make the playoffs. But the best chance to win it and all the work that went in and the position you would put yourself in. No, I have some real doubts about their ability to get that done right now.
Yeah, as you should, Mike, because once it's almost as if playing the 500 baseball is starting to catch up to them because they're now trying to get back to where they were at the beginning of the season, where they were knocking the cover off the ball, where they were making the right plays, where they were doing the right things. Now it's okay. They're like stuck in this malaise, and it's like, guys, you need to wake the F up. Like, the playoffs are almost here, and we're still playing the same way.
How much of this in your mind? Hold on. I want to ask you a question, and I don't want people to misconstrue this. It's not an insult. It's a question. Rico, Occam's razor. How much of this is they're just not that good? That collectively, they're better together. And when it was all rolling, it was kind of voodoo. They were never a 25 games over team. When you break it down individually, who on this team starts for the Dodgers? Who on this team starts for these really good baseball? Like, right.
Who's starting for the Phillies? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that when it comes down to it, eventually Zach McKinstry is Zach McKinstry. That's not an insult. He's a major league player. He's in the 0.01% at his craft on the globe. But within Major League Baseball, he's a bottom percentile player. That's not a real all-star. That's not a guy I want in a seminal moment of my season. Not an insult. It's reality. It's like saying that Rico is a good singer in the shower. He's not Diana Ross. It's not an insult. It's just reality.
I think you put it so bluntly, but I think you're correct that maybe they're just not that team. And it's the thing that we've been saying all year long, but they kept winning, so we had to push it to the side. But, yeah, man, rubber's meeting the road, and you're seeing that, yeah, they're just not that team. They're
this
not that
weekend,
guy.
This weekend would take on an actual panic. If it doesn't go well and the Guards keep doing their thing, we'll have a different convo Monday. I'm not panicked about playoffs, but I am about a 7 out of 10. Panic that they're going to spit the bit and not hold on to the bye. That's where I'm at. I'd love to hear from you guys. Apparently, we've got a bunch of people ready to talk. Here for it. Yeah, we're going to have a therapy session because they lost the Scooble start in a must-win game that could have really ended it. And, yeah, they didn't want it. 248-539-9797. We'll get to you guys and your thoughts next. 97.1. 5 o'clock, good to have you. Your Tigers panic meter. And again, I don't think there's any panic about making the playoffs. Fangraphs, 96% chance you're making it. I'm not doing that show. The panic resides in A, you got swept out of your own yard. Your lead's down to 3.5. The bye, right? That top two seed, the coveted seed. You were a mortal certainty for it. You're now below a 50% chance to clinch that. That is concerning. My panic about the bye week is about a 7. I'm not going to do panic about playoffs. If they go out this weekend and get knocked around by Atlanta, we're going to have a way different conversation. The other issue today, Cole Keith is hurt. A.J. Hinch termed it very concerning. And what's really concerning is just this team is doing nothing well. Mm-hmm. So here we are, and we're talking to you guys about it. Rico, did I miss anything there, pal?
No, that's it, except for your apology to Prince.
What did you say?
Except for your apology to Prince.
I can't do that. I just don't like his catalog. 248-539-9797. All right. To the people. It's okay. Let's go to Dale, 97.1. Dale, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, fellas?
I can say with a
clear conscience, I am a very disgusted 9 on the panic meter with this team. They just look flat, disinterested, worn out. I mean, there's a lot of different adjectives, but they look like a team that's going to limp to the finish line. And I understand the analytics and making the playoffs. Even if they do, I think it's going to be a quick exit. They look like a team that just ran out of gas and doesn't have the horses to really be competitive in the playoffs. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would be more surprised at this point if they made the ALCS than, honestly, than anything else. They're just not, nothing's working, Dale. Like, nothing looks right. And, I mean, even Flaherty or Mize, like, they pitched well. I don't think they were great. And then you start to look at the playoffs and you look at the lineup.
Yeah.
And, I mean, man, if you face... Like, look at, all right, the Yankees are clearly an imperfect team. And I've said this. The Yankee season to me was over the minute Gerrit Cole died in spring training. But the top two in their order, guess what? Max Fried, lefty. Carlos Rodon, lefty. So what? You're just not going to play Kerry Carpenter the first two games of a series?
Yeah.
And Riley against lefties this year? He's approaching a sub-200 hitter. What are you going to do? That's the problem. Let's go to Nick, 97.1. Nick, what's going on, pal?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Hey, Nick.
Panic button for me with the Tigers hasn't even turned on yet. My panic button and the fact that I'm cornered to signing my cooling reservoir at the moment is about 7. But I just don't know what's going on. Why are we freaking out here? What is the calling for a job or, you know, hey, things aren't going right. These guys are making the playoffs. Am I correct?
Yes.
You get yourself into a slump with your neighbor ball club that's got your number at the moment. So who's the leader on the team? And I ask that in genuine curiosity because my Tigers now just kind of fell to the wayside after the Red Sox with David Ortiz put us to shame. But, like,
You don't have anybody. You don't have anybody like is that. It? That's a Hall of Fame player. I think the collective strength of this team is every guy in that clubhouse knows they play a role. That's the leader.
So there's not one guy that's going to go out and, you know, be accountable, that's visibly going to be verbal with somebody. Maybe it's somebody out on the bench.
Well, then it's Scooble. That's your leader.
Okay.
Look, Jim Leland always used to say this. My best leaders are my best players. Mm-hmm. Nobody's listening to a guy hitting .219.
Yeah,
so your leaders have to be your best players.
Okay, well, I mean, that's why I'm asking. I mean, who's the guy that's going to sit there and, you know, be accountable, you know, take it and say, hey, I'm not playing great, but you know what? You're not playing great as well. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm pointing it at myself, but I'm saying, you know, all of us got to make a difference. Yep. Who's doing that? You're saying Struble's that guy?
Yeah, but the problem is no one's playing well. So it's a meaningless conversation. Listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but hold on, please.
Not at all.
I'm just, I want to explain this to you. And if you think mm-hmm. I'm in outer space or any other callers do, I'll own that. I think the most okay. overrated thing in sports in 2025 is the locker room speech, is the players only meeting. I think it is nothing more than movie magic. These guys know what they need
not,
to do.
But it's not, though. If you have a leader that's going to say, hey, guys, like, something's got to change here. Because
okay, so time out. I'll give you an example.
Nobody's going to try to...
I'll give okay. you a real example. The Miami Dolphins had a players-only meeting this week. How'd that go? They got beat at home by the Patriots.
I don't know. The Miami Dolphins are irrelevant in Miami.
No, it's very relevant. It's professional sports. They had a players-only meeting.
Yeah,
they lost.
It's Miami, Florida. We're in Michigan. The Dolphins, the only Dolphins I care about are the ones at SeaWorld.
Okay, I tried. You're missing the principle. I'm not telling you that this is the Hank Goldberg radio show in Miami. I'm trying to make you understand players-only meetings, managers blowing up teams. It's movie stuff. What do you think? Tom Berenger's going to stand up with his balls out and say, let's win the whole effing thing? Yeah. And we're just going to win the last nine games of the season?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Why don't we put... Actually, I was just about to use an example, and that would have gone poorly. Let me stay away from that. Listen, I just think you're overrating it. These guys are pros. You know who the leader is? A.J. Hinch. You don't think A.J. holds them accountable? At a certain point, the whole lineup blows.
Yeah.
That's going to turn into an Abbott and Costello routine.
Yeah.
You stink. No, you stink. We all stink.
Well, here's the thing. The players only meeting and all of that, the leaders, well, what, there's going to be 29 teams that all had leaders that stood up at some point. And what happened?
Thank you very much for that.
Yes.
248-539-9797.
Win one for the Gipper, guys. Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying. Like, I love Brian Piccolo. Like,
the only Dolphins I
movies.
Care about are at SeaWorld.
He didn't understand what I was trying to say. Wasn't about asking him to care about Tyreek Hill. I'm saying in real life, real time, this week, what you wanted happened. It did nothing.
And here's the thing. If you need to have the players only meeting, the rally the troop, the win one for the Gipper speech now, then what does that tell me about your team? You should have been locked in and focused. You should be ready to go. You don't need a speech. Your speech is every day when AJ hands out the lineup card and you see where you're batting and where you're playing. That's your speech.
Can we go to Brad, please? 97.1. Brad, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So, my two questions about this is, we have a strong enough lineup most of the time. And I was at the game today. I was enjoying it. And I just can't seem to understand why we keep pinch-hitting Andy Ibañez.
Well, because in their world, he kills lefties. So, he's a matchup-exclusive player like Jamai Jones.
I like watching Jamai Jones.
Okay.
It's just different when you have Meadows as the leadoff and he's the fastest guy. He gets on base. He got a walk and a stolen base. And you get to Ibañez and he doesn't really do much.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and vilify him. I think the fact that we have conversations in this town about players like Andy Ibañez or like Zach McKinstry, or like face of franchise Matt Vierling, or like Jamai Jones, or like pinch-hitting Jake effing Rogers. I did not have that on my bingo card. Look, that's the issue.
Yeah.
I have said this until I'm blue in the face. I can appreciate the style of ball. I can appreciate maximizing opportunity and roster optimization. I can appreciate that you can win games. What I can't appreciate is the sobering truth that no team playing this style of ball has ever won a World Series. Ever. The best you could offer me would be fake COVID and the Rays got there and lost.
Fair
That's
enough.
The problem.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time getting around it because I know I'm cynical and go back to New York. Respect.
Trust me, this weekend will dictate the show on Monday.
because unfortunately you didn't get that game and you're playing a team that's on a 5-game winning streak. You got to put an end to that quick, fast, and in a hurry. Get your confidence back and try to get ready and try to hold on to one of those buys so that you don't have to play in the 3-game series.
Actually, I have an idea. We need Pedro Serrano and we got to get Joe Boo his rum. That'll do it. Leadership.
Hats.
Jock straps.
For bats.
Right. Hats for bats. I'm not. I just. All right. I'll leave it alone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Thank you, Luke. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson. So a little bit later on, we'll talk some Lions with the Birchie kid. It's something weird. Did you see on the injury report that now they are listing Marcus Davenport's injury as a chest injury? I'm going to raise my hand and say over here in the corner, nobody needs to pay attention. I'm getting very concerned about it. I think Marcus Davenport may have an injury problem.
What?
Chest is not good. This better not be a torn pec. I got a bad feeling over here. Bad feeling.
Yeah, when they make the change in distinction,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't sound good.
Nope. Nope.
I mean, I don't know why I thought shoulder sounded better, but then when it changes, oh no, it's not shoulder. It's chest. You can't help but think, okay, chest, that's the pec, and people suffer torn pecs all the time. Just happened to somebody else over the weekend. I forget which NFL player was it, an edge rusher or a defensive lineman.
It was Kalijah Kansi.
Yeah. He got hit with the torn pec that's going to knock him out. That sucks. It absolutely sucks. Don't know if that's the case with Davenport. I remain hopeful.
Yeah.
But
Kang, am I wrong? I don't feel good about this.
No, you're not wrong, unfortunately. And with Marcus Davenport, it was always with most fans, not if, but when. Yeah. Right? And the win happened the same like game as last year, right? It's the second game in the season last year as well?
Yeah, he played two games last year, right?
Yeah, I think it was when he hurt his elbow at the time.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this one. No, maybe it'll be nothing.
Sometimes his body doesn't seem like it could hold up anymore to professional sports. Like clearly for an average human being, he's in great shape. Yeah. He's a monster. He's physically strong, all that stuff. But I think when you play at this level, the less than 1% that play at it, there's certain things your body has, you put stress on certain muscles and joints, and maybe his body just can't hold up anymore, you know? And at the least right now, we know he's hurt. He hasn't practiced. At the worst, yeah, you said that quiet part, Doug, and I don't want to say it, but that could be.
Let's get back to your open line calls. Robbie's in Clinton Township and next here on 97.1. Hi, Robbie.
Hey, how you doing?
We're great.
Hi, Robbie.
That's the main thing. If I was a Tigers coach, I'd pitch all the starters as far as they can go and less chances of us relief pitchers losing the game, maybe.
So it's funny. We got a call earlier. Somebody wanted a quicker hook. You want them to leave him in longer?
Well, I think it's situational. I mean, that school was pitching
better than the relievers.
I mean, look, they're getting very close to the point where they might have to really stretch some guys to avoid bullpen disasters.
Just put it this way. For the first, so they clinch the division, do that as far as they can, but don't wear them out, but do the best they can as long as they can.
Well, unfortunately, when they've lost, it hasn't been because of the bullpen. It's been because they haven't scored runs.
And it was the same case yesterday. I mean, sure, they brought in the bullpen in the seventh inning and Melton gave up a two-run homer to Ramirez. But Skubal had thrown over 100 pitches at that point. They took him out. I get it. And then you're going with one of your most reliable arms, which is Melton.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a line out and then walks a batter and then boom, two-run homer. And the Tigers end up losing 3-1. Melton settled down after that, but it's too late. Damage was done. But the team's not going to score runs. It doesn't matter if the bullpen fails you or not. I mean, it can be demoralizing, I guess. If you're only down by two, you get into the later innings, you're trying to get into a groove, and then the top half of the inning, other team scores four runs, it throws up a crooked number, and then you're demoralized.
We opened the show talking Tigers pretty much the whole first hour, spent pretty much the entire second hour dedicated mostly to football talk. The thing about the Tigers is there's a much better version of them in there. We've seen it. We saw it for the better part of a year. From the beginning of August to the middle of July, they were a damn good baseball team. I think they had the best record in baseball over that stretch. That feels to me like too long of a sample size, too much of a sample size for it to be nothing more than a fluke. We've gotten that text today. This whole thing was a fluke. It was a mirage. But I trust that whatever's in there, AJ Hinch can pull it out. He already has. He already has been able to squeeze what I think is an amazing amount out of what doesn't look to me like the best roster in baseball. Doesn't look to me like the best roster in the American League. They've acted like it a lot, like they're the best roster in baseball in the American League. Right now, they're playing like Hmong. And the question becomes, can they pull out of it? This looks a lot like that July stretch, that terrible, historically bad July stretch where they lost 12 of 13 and did it in ugly, ugly fashion. Cleveland's going away for a minute here, and they need this series against Atlanta desperately. And you know what's crazy? As bad as 3.5 looks, 3.5 with 9 games to go still has them a 96.7% chance of making the playoffs, according to FanGraphs. It looks terrible. But this is why I started that saying, when you're in a losing streak, it feels like you're never going to win again. Right. And you know what started it? It started in the middle of college basketball season. Seems like Michigan and Michigan State, they've had some really good teams, you know, Final Four caliber teams, deep tournament run teams. But in the middle of like February, they'll each lose 3 in a row, like, you know, or middle of January, they each lose 3 in a row, and you feel like, oh my God, they're never going to win again. Hosting NIT games here soon. It happens in baseball, too. It's a really bad time for it.
It is a bad time, and it's been a bad post-All-Star break for the team, specifically for the All-Star players. You look at the four position players that made the All-Star team. Riley Green has a 701 OPS. It's below average in the league for a guy that is, you know, can hit a ton here. Gleyber Torres has a 662 OPS since the All-Star game. Well below average. Average is around 715. Zach McKinstry, his OPS is 624. And then you have Javier Baez, whose OPS is down to 517 since the All-Star game. These guys were all doing an amazing job at the plate before the game. Since the All-Star game, they've all gone in the tank. And it's not good. Now other guys have stepped up. Dylan Dingler's OPS is 796 during that time. Carpenter's 870. You know, limited time here for Parker Meadows, but he's at 874. And Torkelson, he's been consistent. He's 745 after the All-Star break. I think before he was well over 800. But it's the lineup. The guys are not hitting. They're not hitting well at all. I mean, even Colt Keith's OPS is 690 since the All-Star game.
So are you blanking kidding me kind of serious?
Shut up, Dickerson.
What a jerk.
Oh, like it's Dan's fault.
Does he even like the Tigers?
This is sarcasm, just so people know Dan's the greatest. But
in your face, fans. Team got swept again.
This is from Scott. If the Tigers time this perfectly, they'll barely win the division and start a 20-game hot streak late in the last week of the season. That would be great. Here's the thing. You can't have the deadline they had and do this. So, so much focus is going to, if this turns into just like the worst collapse ever, everybody's going to talk about the deadline. They just are. I mean, they already are. The deadline, did they try to get too cute? Did they try to do too much nuanced? Did they, instead of going big, what talks were actually on the table? What trades did they, were they involved in? And any other like deals where that collapsed, and why did they collapse? Are they deals that we'd all turn down if we heard what they were? Were people asking for Colt Keith? Were people asking for players that we currently would need, or were they asking for their minor league guys? I don't know, but I don't think this is over. Okay. By any stretch of the imagination, do I think this is over? And I do believe in AJ. The person that sent this in, this is one of those texts that might be appropriate in 10 days. And, but if you think they're going to pee this away and, if they don't flame out of the playoffs quickly, then you probably, I mean, it's a more valid point for sure. I still think there's a very good version of this Tiger team in there, but baseball is such a weird thing, man. You get ice cold and then you get red hot. And they're getting to the point where it's not desperate yet, but it's getting to the point of death, because like they keep losing games, but there keeps being less time for Cleveland to catch them. And we all know this magic number thing. It's been stalled at 7 forever, which has created this weird place that, like I said, it feels like they don't even control their own damn destiny.
Yeah. But it's tough when you're not seeing the team score. Like they scored big against the Yankees in 2 of those 3 games, 23 runs, I think, in the 2 games. It was great. And then that's it. Things go back to, well, it's a struggle to score runs. They're not getting the timely hit. And then yesterday, they just didn't even get hits. You know, they put it together early and that was it. And it sucks. So you start asking yourself, well, what could be done? Okay. Trade deadline came and went. And they didn't add a bat to the lineup. Not many teams did. And the big bat that was out there was Suarez, and he hasn't exactly lit it up with Seattle since he got traded there. But that acquisition would have cost you likely one of your top 5 prospects, and they weren't willing to do that at that time. I still think that they're willing to do a move like that after the season when they can expand the pool to 29 other teams to talk to, as opposed to the handful of teams that were willing to trade guys that had guys we're trading for. So it makes more sense to me to do it at season's end. That being said, what can you do now?
Is that what brings us to what you want to see this weekend?
Yes. So with the Colt Keith injury, we don't know how serious it is, but it didn't look good. When he came off, he looked pissed, and it didn't look good. If he has to go on the IL, then who comes up? And I think the easy answer is, okay, you look at Toledo and say, like position, here's Jace Young, mm-hmm. who plays third base. He can certainly play second base. And his early audition with the Tigers went horribly awry. He didn't hit at all. Gets sent to Toledo, struggles for the first couple months there, and then starts to pick it up. Then he hit 260 one month, hit 240 another month, and then he's hit in 12 games in September. He's hitting like 390. He's got 18 RBI in the 12 games. He's got three home runs and 6 doubles in the 12 games in September here. He has 17 home runs and 74 RBIs on the season. His OPS is up to .817. His on-base percentage is .370. He has improved these numbers steadily as this year has gone on. I think maybe it's time to take a look back at Jace Young and say, let's give you a shot, because you clearly can hit the ball out of the ballpark and you've got extra base power. 27 doubles on the season for Jace Young to go with the 17 home runs in a little over 400 at-bats. I like that. That's part of it. That's the first part that's probably obvious. The other part may not be as obvious, but watching the Tigers, when you have to go to the bench late in the games, you got Dylan Dingler coming up, and then you end up at some point, you don't want to take him out because he's your catcher, right? But at some point with another placement in the lineup, Jake Rogers indiscriminately comes up because he's a right-handed bat. Mm-hmm. But Jake Rogers isn't hitting. He's hitting below the Mendoza line at 200. He's hitting like 198 on the season. and his OPS is nothing special. He's only hit 3 home runs this year. Now, he's had kind of limited at-bats, too, and he started the year hurt and then came back to the team. And I really like Jake Rogers. I think as a guy, I think he's great. I think he's great for the team. He's a great clubhouse guy. And when he's in the game catching, he calls a good game. Everybody likes the way that he calls the game, and defensively, he's pretty sound. But the Tigers have a guy who's been catching and playing first base at Toledo named Eduardo Valencia, who is hitting .312 at Toledo with 1,000 OPS, a .401 on-base percentage. And when you combine his numbers at AAA and also at AA, it's quite impressive. 23 home runs, 92 RBI, and a .308 average with a .927 OPS. He's a right-handed hitter. Maybe that's something they need to look into. Just to have a bat off the bench. It's a right-handed bat off the bench. We need more right-handed hitting. Okay, well, here you go. Here's a right-handed bat off the bench that is hitting considerably better than Jake Rogers is, albeit at the minor league level. Maybe give him a chance. He's 25 years old, ready for the
opportunity. How do you think the pitchers would feel about Jake Rogers, you know?
I don't know. I don't know how they would feel because I think Dylan Dingler is the guy who's going to catch 90% of the games.
I get it, but I still, you know, once you get to the postseason, is Dylan Dingler going to catch every game? He might. He might. But if you move on from Jake Rogers and don't have him on your postseason roster and something happens, now you've got this guy handling the pitching staff, and I'm going to guess that they wouldn't love that.
They may not love it, but if he can get the job done, you'll learn to love it quickly. Because remember, when Jake Rogers got hurt and Dylan Dingler had to start catching, you know, people were wondering, well, what's going to happen with Scoobal? Because Jake was Scoobal's catcher. And then nothing happened because he was fine.
Yeah. Would you rather have somebody else called up for Trey Sweeney instead? Doesn't have to be the same position.
I think that's another possibility. You wanted to go ahead and do that and bring up Max Anderson or
To debut?
Well, in addition to what I've already said, I don't
desperate times. You know, it's funny if you look back,
it's also replacing somebody who's not giving you anything offensively. Jake Rogers is giving you nothing offensively, and Trey Sweeney is giving you nothing offensively.
Eugenio Suarez, right? He gets traded. That was the name we saw. He is hit for terrible average. He has had some pop in the bat out there in Seattle, but his OPS is .659. He's batting .182.
Yeah, his OPS was like 9-something before he got traded.
And now he hasn't done much. Ryan McMahon got traded to the Yankees. There was some talk about the Tigers going after him. He hit 16 home runs in Colorado. He's hit 3 in New York and is hitting .213 there. His OPS is .640. Nothing special. Ironically, probably the guy that we wish they went and got is Carlos Correa, because Correa has the ties to Hinch. And there was talk about him maybe signing in Detroit when he was a free agent. And he's been pretty damn productive for Houston. But I mean, there were some deals out there. The deals and the names they were associated with mostly have had mixed results, but your job isn't to do what everybody talks about. Your job is to do what's best for the team. And, you know, was there any discussion between the Tigers and Minnesota for Correa? I'd be intrigued, but hey, look, this sounds like we're giving up, and I'm not giving up. We're like doing the, oh my God, they blew it show already. And that's, I'm not there yet, and I laid out all the reasons why. I hope this is just another one of those yuck throw it in the garbage stretches where they'll get back to what they were earlier, but they'll do it at just the right time and go shooting into the playoffs on a hot streak.
My suggested moves aren't
like a boomerang. They need a boomerang right now.
My suggested moves are not to shake up the lineup. First of all, if Colt Keith is hurt for, you know, a long enough time where he has to be on a stint on the IL, mm-hmm. if that's the case, then there's one corresponding move. The other moves I'm talking about are replacing guys that are backups.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jake Rogers and Trey Sweeney at this point. Not that they don't have, you know, something to contribute. Obviously, Sweeney is a decent fielding shortstop, and Jake Rogers is beloved by the pitching staff for his defensive skills and the way he calls a game. I understand that. But because the Tigers do have a former catcher as their manager who's a brilliant mind, I'll trust A.J. Hinch, but, I mean, the manager sometimes will call the pitches from the dugout anyway if you're going to help along a guy like Valencia if he is brought up. I'm just bringing it up because I think this team desperately needs to have somebody that can hit to just even come off the bench. And if you're talking about how many games left are there? Nine games left?
Nine.
That if two of them you're asking for the backup catcher to start at most? Is it asking that much?
I mean,
I
think you just have to ask the catchers or the pitcher, excuse me, how much they would care. But
or just let Dylan Dingler catch the rest of the way and Valencia is a right-handed bat out of the bench.
Could. I mean, I think that would, you're looking at the risk of overdoing it every day, but well, what the hell at this point? I mean, they can't afford to do much other than to put their best lineup. Like they're getting to the point where they need to win damn games and they can't, they're no longer, we were hoping they could ration stuff going into the postseason.
I'm just trying to win World Series.
Shut up. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.